Good morning, it is 11:30 a.m. and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. In this episode, we'll be featuring an interview with QCHRA, the Queen's Community Housing Residents Association, and get into all you need to know for the upcoming eclipse on Monday and more messages from the city and local organizations. The Queen's Community Housing Residents Association, QCHRA, an association which was formed by people who live in housing managed by Queens, is speaking out regarding the sudden rent increase of 10.5% that they were made aware of in late December, as well as the disappointing series of discussions with the university over the past few months. Chloe and Valentina, members of QCHRA and graduate students at Queens, sat down with CFRC to discuss where they are now with Queens Community Housing, and what their next steps are after their last discussion with the university in March. Here's a bit of our conversation. To start us off, I was wondering if you could introduce yourselves and share a little bit about QCHRA just in general for folks who aren't aware.
Sure. My name is Chloe. I'm a postdoctoral fellow here at Queen's.
My name is Valentina. I'm a PhD student in the English department.
And the Queen's Community Housing Residents Association, or QCHRA, is a group that has been formed by the people who live in community housing residences. So that's housing that's managed by Queens, and that would be John Orr and Anne Clacken are the two sites. These are predominantly grad students. And basically, QCHRA is kind of like a union that you would have at your job, but instead of being for people who work together, it's people who live in the same buildings. So we kind of formed together after it became clear that Queens Community Housing was planning to make a number of changes to our living situations. This included a huge rent increase, much above the provincial guidelines. So the provincial guidelines are 2.5% per year, and Queens Community Housing was intending to raise our rent 10.5% for the coming year. And they recently revealed that they're planning to do that again for the year after that, and then again for the year after that. So that's altogether a 35% rent increase. They're also instituting a number of other changes that would be very problematic for people who live there. Mm-hmm. Things like limiting how long you can stay in housing. So even if you're still a student, if you've completed as many years as they believe it should take you to complete your graduate degree, then they will evict you from your home.
Yes, on this thing was quite funny. I think we will talk about that later, but we had a meeting with community housing on March 6th, I believe. And at this meeting, we said, so are you planning to institute a limit of 3 years for PhD students? And they said, yes. And we're like, well, first of all, it's not 3 years, it's four. And second, it's not four either. Because realistically speaking, nobody finishes their PhD in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And they were surprised by that, which is like, didn't you research this? This isn't exactly, occult knowledge known to very few people. This is very well known. So they have imposed a three-year lease renewal limit for PhD students, a 1 year for master's students. And the thing that is intriguing, so to speak, is that many students who get their master's here, they usually think about getting their PhD here. And you would think, oh, so you get 1 year as a master's student and then 3 years as a PhD student? No, you get your lease renewal as a master's student.
What it is if you are a master's student and you get to roll over into your PhD, you're only allowed to stay in community housing for 4 years. So you'd only be able to stay for the first 2 years of your PhD, and then you would be evicted. So even though you've started a new degree, a completely different degree, and you're still a student at Queen's, they would not allow you to stay in housing.
Yeah, and I believe these changes came quite suddenly as well. If people just received notices, is that sort of how it went?
Yeah, so actually it was quite this like strange process where in October community housing had a meeting with SGPS, and in that meeting they mentioned, oh, by the way, we're planning to make these changes to housing. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about it? And SGPS said, no, you can't do that. These changes mm-hmm. are bad, and we can't see anybody thinking these are good changes. And they let our union, which is PSAC 901, mm-hmm. Know about these changes, which is how all of us found out. None of us knew, and community housing was not communicating to us that these were coming down the line. Mm-hmm. It was only because SGPS let us know. And then they kept completely silent about it until we heard from them. So on December 20th, which is already after most people have left for the winter holidays, like over that break, on December 20th, they slid notices under our doors, letting us know how much the rent increase would be and letting us know that this was non-negotiable, and also demanding that we sign our lease renewal request a full month earlier than usual, which we think was mm-hmm. a way of getting people to basically like kind of have to do it right away rather than like letting people consider as they would have been able to do before, because they wanted us to agree to that rent increase, which this is also the first time we heard the actual number, that 10.5%. Mm-hmm. They had not been at all sharing what that would be mm-hmm. before they slipped that notice under our doors.
It is worth noting, by the way, that we signed a lease renewal, we applied to renew mm-hmm. our lease. Our new leases have not come yet. They are mm-hmm. coming in April. We don't know when. Allegedly, they're coming in April. Yeah. I guess that, to be fair, and it's not much fairness, they did send an email in November, quite late in November, though, where they say that we could check on the site for the new fair access policy changes. Mm-hmm. Now, I say to be fair, but... when you go to that site, you can find their proposals, but they're not very clear. Like they did mm-hmm. say, we are thinking of raising rent. They did not give a number. They did not say how much. They did say nothing. They are saying, we are thinking of renewing Anklagen. They're not saying when. They're not saying, they're just thinking about it in the future. It's implied that it's going to be essentially a renovation, mm-hmm. but they're not saying that. They're saying we are thinking of putting a lease renewal. They're not very clear about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they did send out an email in November that wasn't very clear, sending us mm-hmm. to a page in the site that is not very clear. Mm-hmm. So, yes, in their defense, they did that.
Yeah, we're just feeling this lack of transparency, yes. basically, throughout all of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's sort of, like, our big complaints, mm-hmm. other than, of course, all of these changes that obviously none of us agree with. Mm-hmm. The lack of transparency has been, like, really upsetting. A lot of people, obviously, live in this housing. They rely on it to be able to have their families live. Many people who live in housing have children. Mm-hmm. Multiple children sometimes they've got parents living with them, people live there with spouses and partners, and everybody kind of relies on this because as you're probably aware, like graduate students are paid very little at this university, exceptionally little, and the cost of living, of course, as everybody knows, mm-hmm. is going up and up and up in this city and across the country and in the world, let's be fair. It is certainly going up everywhere, but funding packages are not going up. Mm-hmm. A majority of graduate students in this university earn less than $30,000 a mm-hmm. year, often substantially less than that. And that amount is what they're paid, not considering that they have to pay tuition back out of that. So mm-hmm. for every amount that somebody earns, you have to take like $8,000 off of that at least mm-hmm. To account for tuition. And then they're expected to live on that. They have to pay rent, they have to pay for food, they have to take care of their children, they have to take care of their families, all on like $10,000 a year, sometimes less.
Chloe and Valentina also discussed their last meeting with the university on March 6th, where they also stated to the university that they are planning to bring this to the landlord-tenant board.
So you're given that 10.5 figure sort of in December, and then March 6th, you had that conversation. Was that sort of the last formal communication that you had with Queens Community Housing?
Yeah. So mm-hmm. basically, One of the things that sort of community housing has been pointing to this whole time is that as an educational landlord, they are allowed to exceed the provincial guidelines of rent increases because they're exempt from that increased limit, which is true. However, we formed this tenants association, the residents association, in October. So right at the end of October, we formed this group, and they acknowledge that our group exists. And there is an exemption to the exemption that they're using, where if a tenants association exists, they have to consult with that association before they raise rent. They have to. Legally, they must. Like, it is required that they do that, regardless of the fact that they're exempt because they're an educational landlord. But they didn't, because, of course, they slipped those notes under our doors without ever speaking to any of us, even though they acknowledged that they knew that we existed. So we went to this meeting with them on March 6th, as you brought up. At this meeting, it did not go well. I think if anybody has been following the way that conversations with upper administration has been going at this university thus far, it's a lot of people saying, like, the way that this is being handled is unacceptable and the things that you're doing are unacceptable, and the administration going, we're listening, we're hearing you. And then they don't do anything about it, right? They're listening. They're always listening, but they're never doing anything about it. It was very much that kind of experience. But because they knew that legally they had to consult with us, they called it a consultation, but it was certainly not that. It was largely an opportunity for them to tell us what was going to happen and then to stand there and listen while we told them things and then to disregard that at that meeting that we had on March 6th. We obviously all said, we do not agree with any of the changes that you're making. And we asked them to say very clearly, when were these changes made? When was it decided that these changes were going to come through? And they said, you know when these changes were made. And we were like, could you tell us when that was? And they said, in December, when you got your notice. And we said, interesting. So that's before March that you did that, which means that they have admitted verbally, and we have a recording of this, they've admitted that they did not consult with residents before they made this change. So it is an illegal rent increase. Whether or not they're going to try to go ahead with it, that's a different question. But it is certainly illegal, and we are intending to bring this to the landlord-tenant board to sort of fight against this as best we can.
Yeah, so that would be sort of your next step after if you're not getting a response in the next bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have not been in communication with the landlord since that meeting. They did, obviously they heard us say that, and they seemed quite freaked out by it, and they stopped communicating with us. They also stopped the meeting right there. And then quite recently, about like a week or less ago, they sent an email to tenants saying, we're pushing back the date when we're sending you our leases, the new leases. So they're supposed to come out in March, and now they're coming out in April. So we don't know what changes they're intending to make, if any, if they're going to try to, like, work around it and say, well, we did technically consult with you. So, like, even though you disagreed, but, like, we have the very firm, clear proof that what they're doing is illegal.
They also described what the university could do to prevent QCHRA from bringing this issue to the landlord-tenant board.
And you're saying the next step is sort of that application to the tenant board. And I was wondering, what could the university do before that to prevent that? What are you asking for, pretty much, that they could do that would actually remedy the situation, at least to some extent?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, we're asking them to meet with us and actually meet with us. We don't want another meeting where they're presenting to us and then they sit down and listen to all our questions, and then, which is what they did, they refused to respond in the moment to each individual question. They sat down and wrote down every question and then got up to answer them, and therefore were able to not answer many of the questions that were asked of them. We would like an actual consultation where they actually speak to residents. We would like them to obviously not raise the rent by 10.5% this year. And we'd also like to really push them to scale back their planned further rent increases for the future. We're also asking them to consider other ways of increasing the housing supply in Kingston.
Basically, what we're asking them is to realize that we are smart people. Surely, they know we are smart people. They wouldn't have accepted us to this program if we weren't. So you cannot come here and just expect us to believe everything that you're telling us. you cannot come here and say that, this lease renewal limit will help make housing more affordable, because it will make other people get into housing, because it is pretty clear to everybody that you're not really giving more people housing. You're just creating some sort of like a merry-go-round of housing where people just keep on circling around this. Are you fixing anything there? Or are you just mocking me right now? Have you just decided to make it difficult just for no reason? So like, have some respect, I think, is really the baseline. So like, have some respect. And once you see me as a person with a brain who is able to understand what you're telling me, then maybe also converse with me and maybe we can reach some sort of understanding.
Finally, Chloe and Valentina shared where you can keep up with QCHRA and support them.
If people are interested in like hearing more about what we're up to and what we're doing, they can follow us on Instagram at Queens Community Tenants. You can also check out our Linktree, which is like linktr.ee/QCHRA23. And that has like all of our information. We'd especially appreciate, we have like a petition up there right now that non-tenants are welcome to sign to show solidarity with us and to show that they disagree with the changes Queens is making. So we really ask people to sign that if they're willing. Keep your eyes peeled. We're going to be making some moves along with like the Students versus Cuts teams and other groups like that to start sort of bringing our message more fully into view. We really invite people to keep their eyes peeled and to stand with us on this, because we're not alone in this. We are certainly just one part, as we said, of the austerity struggle. And we would love to get more involved in the broader community.
Before we get into more local news, I'm going to turn to our weather and traffic report for this morning. Now for your CFRC weather report for this morning. Today we're expecting periods of snow ending this afternoon, then cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries. The amount will be 2 centimeters. Winds will be 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50, and the temperature will stay steady near +1 with a UV index of 1 or low. Tonight we're expecting cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries. Winds will be 20 kilometers per hour, gusting to 40 and becoming light this evening. Temperature will be steady near +1. Looking forward to tomorrow, we're expecting more cloudy skies with a 60% chance of flurries or rain showers, changing to a 60% chance of rain showers late in the morning. Winds will be 20 kilometers per hour in the morning, and the temperature will be steady near +4. Tomorrow night, we're expecting cloudy skies with a 30% chance of rain showers or flurries and a low of +3. Looking forward to the weekend, we're expecting sunnier skies and higher temperatures. On Saturday, we have a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 9 degrees, with clear skies at night and a low of 0. On Sunday, we'll have sunny skies, a high of 14, clear skies at night once again, and a low of +1. Now for your CFRC weekly traffic report for March 29th to April 4th. Reduced load restrictions are in effect in Kingston, and heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. The City of Kingston is planning for up to 500,000 visitors to the city. Expect significant traffic delays. Stay tuned to their website for details about road closures, bus routes, and detours on April 8th. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is fully closed to all public access, including vehicles, bicycles, and pedestrians, until further notice. An incident on the Bascule Bridge occurred on Saturday, March 30th at approximately 5 p.m., whereby an element of the bridge was compromised during the construction. No one was injured or harmed as a result of this incident. Traffic barriers and fencing are in place, and traffic personnel are stationed at both ends to prevent all public access to the bridge. PSPC advises all motorists, cyclists, pedestrians, and emergency vehicles to use the Wavin crossing. Detour signage is in place. PSPC is working on a solution to stabilize the bridge and repair the damaged element. The estimated time for repair is currently unknown. A complete assessment of the damage to the structure is needed and can only be undertaken once the affected element can be adequately supported. PSPC will provide more information once available and encourages you. PSPC will provide more information once available and encourages users to consult their public notices and social media channels for updates. More information about the project is available on the LaSalle Causeway Bascule Bridge Rehabilitation webpage. In road closures, Coronation Boulevard at CN Rail Crossing is closed April 3rd at 7 a.m. to April 7th at 7 p.m. for repairs at the Coronation Boulevard railway tracks. University Avenue Union to Earl is still closed until May 29th for the Queens JDEC project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and various other upgrades. The work began in February this year and will conclude in late December. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. Finally, in other delays, Queen Street, Montreal to Sydenham expect an eastbound lane closure until May 15, 2024. Detours will be in place for the duration of the lane closure. In a message from the City of Kingston, Kingston Fire and Rescue issues notice of burn ban. In advance of the total solar eclipse happening in Kingston on Monday, April 8th, Kingston Fire and Rescue will activate a complete burn ban from Friday, April 5th at 8 a.m. to Tuesday, April 9th at 8 a.m. Kingston is preparing to welcome 70,000 to 500,000 visitors to the region, creating additional service needs and traffic congestion leading up to, during, and following the eclipse. CFR Fire Chief Monique Blair states, quote, "By issuing a burn ban, we can keep resources available to respond to emergency scenes when and where they are needed. If the fire department is responding to an open-air fire, crews will be unavailable to help in other emergency or rescue situations. This may come at the expense of increased response times, endangerment to the responders, or even the loss of life. We ask that all residents and visitors comply with the burn ban to ensure we keep Kingston safe for all. While the burn ban is in effect, the following is prohibited: setting off fireworks, all open-air fires, including campfires, outdoor appliance fires, agricultural fires, and brush fires. You may still use propane and natural gas appliances, smokers, barbecues, and charcoal appliances. However, exercise extreme caution. KFR will continue to monitor the situation and provide an update if conditions change." Downtown Kingston kicks off Solar Eclipse Weekend with a special edition of Art After Dark. This weekend in Kingston all starts on Friday evening with a special solar eclipse edition of Art After Dark. A favorite of Kingston residents and visitors alike, Art After Dark is a free walking tour of downtown's most art-loving shops, cafes, and studio spaces. Each stop on the tour showcases some of the best art Kingston has to offer, with a few special surprises along the way. This year's spring edition of Art After Dark has been moved forward to coincide with Monday's highly anticipated celestial event. Sandy Griffiths, events manager at the Downtown Kingston BIA, states, quote, "With people traveling to the city for the eclipse, we thought this was a great opportunity to showcase the city's wonderfully vibrant art scene," end quote. With a record 24 participants, this edition of Art After Dark is set to be the biggest one yet. Attendees can expect a wide range of activities from curated gallery shows and live art demonstrations to live music. The event runs from 7 to 10 p.m. with a map and a full list of participants available at downtownkingston.ca. During the event, participants can also take part in a scavenger hunt style contest for a chance to win $500 towards original art. To enter, visit each participating location to find the code word and submit it for a chance to win. Each code word submission earns you one entry into the draw for the grand prize. Art After Dark is produced by Downtown Kingston and brought to you by 700 plus downtown business and property owners. In yet another total solar eclipse event, ancient cures and traditions to be featured at Museum Solar Eclipse Event. The Museum of Healthcare at Kingston is holding an event to celebrate the once-in-a-lifetime eclipse happening on April 8th. The sun, the mood, and your body will feature ancient traditions and healing practices associated with the sun, the moon, and health. Visitors are invited to visit the museum on Saturday, April 6th and Sunday, April 7th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. for interactive, family-friendly activities. An apothecary will be on hand to issue cures to those feeling the ill effects of the celestial event. Visitors will have the opportunity to make an amulet to collect all the positive energy that the solar eclipse brings. There will also be a challenging museum-wide scavenger hunt to discover all the phases of the moon. This fun and fascinating weekend will have something for everyone. This event does not require registration and admission is by donation. In another message from the City of Kingston, the Household Hazardous Waste Depot opens for the season on Thursday, April 4th. Located at the Kingston Area Recycling Center at 196 Lappin's Lane, the depot accepts household hazardous waste items on Thursdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Residents are reminded to follow the directions provided by the depot attendants while visiting. Measures to follow while at the Kingston Area Recycling Center. Stay in your vehicle while waiting for an attendant to serve you. Either unload your items into a provided basket or stay in your vehicle while items are unloaded for you. Bring proof of residency, such as a driver's license, when dropping off household hazardous waste. For reporting purposes, the City of Kingston tracks whether facility visitors are from Kingston or another nearby community. About household hazardous waste and what to bring. Never put hazardous material in with regular garbage or recycling, and never pour it down a drain or toilet. Store hazardous material in original containers in a cool, dry place, safely away from food, children, or pets, until you can bring it to the facility. Look for warning labels and instructions on products and handle any potential hazardous materials with care. Do not mix materials and, when possible, bring items in their original containers. Household hazardous waste includes items such as adhesives, aerosol containers, antifreeze, batteries of all kinds, and light bulbs of all kinds. Fire extinguishers, fuels, household cleaners, mercury devices, switches, thermometers and thermostats, oil, paint, propane cylinders, and solvents. If you're not sure where it goes, you can visit cityofkingston.ca/waste-lookup. In another message from the City of Kingston to begin enforcement of daytime sheltering prohibition in city parks. The City of Kingston, with support from community partners, has begun applying the Parks Use Bylaw 2009-76 in all municipally owned parks as directed by Kingston City Council. For people who have been sheltering in parks, this means tents and other temporary structures must be removed 1 hour after sunrise and cannot be erected until 1 hour before sunset. Following a court decision in late 2023, city staff began letting people know about the provision last month, with every effort made to do so in a respectful, safe, and empathetic manner. Daytime services have expanded, with Adelaide Street Center, a shelter, and daytime drop-in now operating 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week. There are 30 spaces during day services, which started March 29th. A new seat container in Bell Park, operated by Home Base Housing, will be open daily to store tents and belongings during the day. Staff have been implementing procedures for dismantling permanent and/or semi-permanent structures erected in city parks, enforcing fire bans, and establishing other procedures intended to protect the security of the city's parks and infrastructure, address life safety concerns, and promote the safe and accessible use of city parks. Kingston Police will have a presence in the area to ensure the safety of everyone on the ground, including individuals sheltering there, advocates, staff, community partners, and neighbors. The city is committed to working with individuals in the encampment to have voluntary compliance. As a last resort, the city will consider all available legal remedies. Paige Agnew, Commissioner, Growth and Development Services, states, quote, "We recognize this is going to be extremely difficult for people who are sheltering in parks. The city is committed to supporting those impacted by this change in a fair and reasonable way. The city has been working closely with community partners to share information about expanded options for storage, daytime shelters, and support services," end quote. The City of Kingston remains dedicated to finding safe, supporting housing for people experiencing homelessness. To learn more about encampment protocol procedures or to comment on the protocol procedures, visit the City of Kingston website. That is all things current in Kingston for this morning. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. To hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.